Reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 to 33. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When our Lord Jesus first came into the world and his incarnation took place, it was rather a humble event. And in fact, one of the reasons that many Jewish people rejected Christ as the Messiah was because of his humble birth and the humble home that he grew up in. People that were expecting a great Messiah thought that someone coming like that should have to have great grandeur, and it would be something very spectacular. And many Jewish people had views about this coming Messiah as if he was going to be some spectacular, maybe political leader or possibly military leader. And to suddenly have this man come before them who was a son of a carpenter and so lowly, didn't own any property and things, and seemed like such a lowly individual, it was very, very disheartening from their perspective. And so his great humility, the way he came into the world, was a challenge for so many people. But that's not quite the way that our Lord's second coming will be. When we look at the text before us, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, think of that, and all the holy angels are with him. Can you just imagine trying to envision? Artists have tried to depict things like this, and it absolutely seems strange to us in this fallen world. The type of glory that is described. All his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and then all nations will be gathered before him. All people from all time and will be gathered before him. And this is quite a grand event. And sometimes the scale of it seems so absolutely overwhelming that it's hard for us to even get our minds around it. And yet what's interesting is that the actual judgment scene is very singular. It's very solo. In other words, don't be tempted to think we just kind of hide in the masses. Sometimes I know we can be tempted to think that way about our sins, and we look at the culture around us and how so many other people in this world just live in such wickedness and things. And we can kind of find ourselves tempted to think, well, who's God to actually pay attention to the little things that I'm doing in my life? But notice how singularly solo each one of these judgments will be. And he is going to individually now divide the sheep from the goats. And each one will be judged alone. That's kind of an intimidating thought when we think about our lives and think about some of the things that we've done in our past, things that nobody else in the world knows about. And yet God is so well aware of every little thing we've done and every weakness. There's so many times in Scripture where Jesus will be able to read the thoughts of people and what's going on in their minds and hearts, and even when they haven't expressed it verbally. And that's an intimidating thought. In this chapel, when they designed the beautiful stained glass windows, on the top on each side, you can see an eyeball. And the intent of that is a reminder of the presence of God. And sometimes thinking about the eye of God looking down into my soul and my conscience is a very, very intimidating thing. But on this day of judgment, there are those who will be in this flock of Christ as the Lord separates everyone. And elsewhere in this same chapter, Jesus uses the wonderful expression, where the judge will say to those who have been believing in the Savior, come, you who have been blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the beginning. Now, that's a beautiful invitation to those who are among the sheep. Think about that. Those of you who have been blessed by my Father, given the gift of faith in Christ, trusting in him alone for our hope of heaven, the full forgiveness of our sins, trusting in him, we now are given the inheritance. Notice it's not something we've earned. Inherit, he says, the kingdom prepared for you. And an inheritance is not something that you earn. Sometimes people will be put into someone's will and inherit a large portion of an estate, and they had no idea. They had no idea. It wasn't something they even knew about. Sometimes it even happens in families where there are people, children in a family or grandchildren, who are completely undeserving of an inheritance by how they've lived or even treated the parents or grandparents, and yet they're still given a large portion of the inheritance. What a gracious God we have that because of the work of Christ Jesus our Lord and everything he's done for each one of us, and by the work of faith that God the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts to prepare us for this great day, that even people like us, who God can look down and see everything bad about me in my whole life, even those of us, God in his grace grants us an inheritance that will never fade away. And what a wonderful gift that we have from God, that our getting to heaven, our hope of salvation, is not based on us and our lives. It's rather based on Christ. And the simple, humble gift of faith that is worked in our hearts, that cherishes Jesus and loves his grace and loves the fact that he's paid for all of our sins, that holds on to his holy righteousness as our own record before God, that all of that has been worked in us by his goodness and mercy. And because of that, God will welcome us into that flock of his sheep as we're singing about today. Notice also in this text, there is absolutely no middle ground. Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. There's no middle ground. There's either the sheep or the goats. And what a precious gift we've been given to be under that wonderful good shepherd who loves us so dearly and cares for us through his word and sacrament. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we look forward to your arrival, we pray that you would give us hearts of faith to cling to you alone for our hope of heaven, and that you would continue to keep us as your sheep, listening to your voice throughout our lives. Stir up our hearts in true repentance before you, and may your eyes always see the wonderful faith you've given us yourself, so that someday we can be counted among your sheep on the great day of judgment. We pray this all in your saving name. Amen.